for orienting yourself in the world, like some type of, I think there's a sociology course, but it's all in relation to Krishna consciousness, the way we teach it. And then some life skills are also taught. And then finally, the fourth area is these things which bring us to contemplate a little bit about our lives and which help us to go deeper, to think about things like purification of the heart, doing our own spiritual journey, and so with all the necessary help which we can get. And these courses are usually taught by God brothers, by Prabhupada disciples, by sannyasis. They are more for the internal purification of the heart. So in my humble attempt to serve the vision of the Bhaktivedanta College and to serve all of you, I'm trying to move you, and I'm trying to do this both in a theoretical way. Then I want to touch your hearts with these little slide presentations which we have made for this purpose, and so on. But mostly I really would like to point you towards this chart. You can make most of these types of seminars by reflecting deeply about them, thinking about a practical application in your life, and praying really for Krishna's help to apply them. So in the first part of our seminar, we have dealt a little bit with the necessity to receive blessings. We have quoted a verse from the Brihannaradiya Purana, which is cited in Jaiva Dharma. The inclination for bhakti, this verse says, the inclination for bhakti is awakened by association with Bhagavan's bhaktas. The jiva obtains the association of Shuddha bhaktas by the accumulated effect of spiritually pious activities performed over many lifetimes. So in this association of great devotees, which all of us have obtained, we all have met by the will of Lord Krishna, Srila Prabhupada and those who were formed by him, his, so to say, clay cups. Prabhupada was like the wonderful, or is like the wonderful potter who has formed his devotees like clay cups, no? Which hold some of his, a little of his mercy. We have, therefore, we live in a culture where we can obtain blessings. Blessing from Srila Prabhupada and even the previous acharyas. Blessings from the deities. Blessing from the devotees. And we should be, that is the purpose of this seminar, we should be alert to this possibility. There's a very nice verse which we have quoted in that regard. It says, unless one receives the blessings of a great devotee, no act can be devotion. One cannot attain Krishna, and one cannot even obtain liberation. We have discussed how what we want to obtain from these personalities and from the devotees and ultimately Lord Krishna, the blessing we want to obtain is bhakti. And we have thought about this thing, that bhakti is really something, it's a fruit not grown on the fruit tree of karma and jnana and yoga. Let us make it more specific. Bhakti is something transcendental. It is not to be had by material, by the endeavors of karma and jnana, and so on. We have thought in this regard about the Anya Vilasita Shunyam verse. Then we have talked about the culture of pride, our Western civilization. We have even read to you an excerpt from the third American president to King George. It was a letter where he said, "Leave us alone. We are now an independent state who have different concepts than you have in your old, dark, medieval Europe." And we have cited from this letter that there is a notion in our society that all men are equal. We have investigated this discussion and have found out on a spiritual level, yes, we are all souls, part and parcel of Krishna, but still in this world there are different levels of spiritual advancement. There is a higher class of devotees and we should approach them for blessings. Then we have discussed about that it's very difficult to judge Vaishnavas because they may play a role. And yesterday we had this very, very, I would say, challenging session where we said that even if we are criticized by Vaishnavas and it pains so much in our heart, that this may be that due to Krishna entering into the heart of the Vaishnavas in the situation and using them to bring us further in our way. We have also analyzed a little bit that it's not good that we become so defensive when we are criticized, that in fact this is sometimes against the culture of seeking blessings, because the one who criticizes us may do a very valuable service for us. What was that service, Dinadaya? Do you remember? He may take away bad qualities and karma, our Dinadayal has said. It's like, do you know this paper which you put when you have spilled ink on a paper? It's a what is it?
Blotting
paper. Löschpapier. Is it a correct word, blotting paper? Gopeshwari, you know everything. So you go like, so if someone, we have read you from the scriptures, a person, the one who remains tolerant, not becoming angry, certainly attains the abuser's pious credits, and indeed his own sins are transferred to that wrathful person. It's from the Mahabharata Shantipava. No? And we had read, the ignorant always seek to injure the vice by malice and backbiting. By doing so, the critic takes upon himself the load of the wise man's sins, which he, the wise man, casts off by forgiving the ignorant. So we have, in other words, taken a whole different perspective on honor and dishonor. And I thought it's important because if you really set out to look for blessings, you must somehow come in a humble state of mind, and you must know why you should do this. We were reading like this yesterday. Today I want to again stir your mind and your hearts. Hare Krishna. I want to show you as a presentation which we have prepared for events like today. Events like today is towards the end of a seminar where we want to bring our audience to a different understanding and level, and we will request all of you to take to situate yourselves the men are in a very good position. The Maharajis, maybe you just move a little, this time a little bit here. You don't need to stare right on the thing, because this won't be about masks. Empowering people, what is this? Bhaktivedanta College. Ah, Krishna. Not long ago, or a few years ago, I decided I needed blessings of the holy dharms, and I went this time to the Himalayas. Lord Ramachandra says, he who has darshan of the Himalaya, all his sinful karmic reactions are evaporated, just like someone, he gave an example, just like the dew in the morning gets evaporated upon the arisal or upon the rise of the sun. When we go through the Himalayan mountains, our sinful reactions go away, and we are by the darshan of these sacred mountains. This is Bhagirathi 1, Bhagirathi 2, and Bhagirathi 3. 1, 2, 3, It's a sacred mountain. This is, by the way, Mother Ganga, and this is the glacier. So this is, it was said in the old times that if you felt that your last days came close, you had to go north. North, Vishvatma Prabhu, always meant to go to the Himalayan mountains, because it was understood if you would enter the Himalayan mountains, the remaining sinful results would go away. I want to alert you to the fact that for us Vaishnavas, Mayapur and Vrindavan and Puri are the main sacred spots. They do this much, much more. But because I knew I would write a book about a journey for the non-devotee world, The Way of the Great Departure, I did make a traditional journey to the Himalayas and wrote a book about it. It is soon coming out in English, and you can read it if you wish. It describes a pilgrimage little adventurous style, where sinful reactions go. So, yes, from this journey, I've brought this slideshow back, which I will show you. It will not be about the Himalayan mountains, but it will be about what a pilgrim can experience in his life in terms of leaving old things behind. This is really the whole purpose of pilgrimage, to leave old things behind. And this is also the purpose of this seminar, one of the purposes. It's to alert you to a new way of life, the life of seeking blessings, in opposition of the life of making endeavors. Okay. Gaurahari, please put on the mute a little louder. See, when you really look for blessings, you do need to have an inversion or an exchange of values. In our Western mindset, it's so much embedded that by my own endeavors, I will change my life to the better. It's so much in our mind. And culture of seeking blessings and culture of offering respect is just such a different concept altogether, that it takes a little bit time and a little bit, I would say, deep thoughts how to make it work for us. So this is therefore, it's for me very necessary to now show you a slideshow on transformation of values. There is a verse which I always read once a week, a song, it's actually from Gita Mala, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung if you about how necessary it is to practice the art of humility so that you can receive grace or blessings of the holy name, the Naam Kripa, we say in Sanskrit. I would like to alert you to this by coming from a different angle, a different culture. Who of you is vaguely familiar with Saint Francis of Assisi? You have read a little bit, maybe? Namamrita? Not yet? You have not read? Something you have heard. You watched the movie. That's already some familiarization. Vishaka, you have heard. Steffi, you have heard something. Our Dina Dayal, and something we have
already. I was there. Was
you were there for this interfaith meeting, or just as a visit to make yourself familiar with the places. Saint Francis of Assisi has challenged really the Western worldview. He said, "The poorer I am, the better." And he would give things away, and so on. He's the poor man in Christianity because he would feel that by as less as I have material things around me, as the more I am uncovered to receive the mercy of Christ. That was his logic, and he really did this in a way which is just astonishing. He would give away everything which was his father's. This was done in Christian times, the monks. The monks would really try to practice utter dependence on Krishna. They would be, as Tulsidas describes, the chakora bird? Yes, the chakora bird who only drinks water from the clouds, not from the chataka. Yes, Tulsidas describes a chataka bird. He says that there was this chataka bird. The chataka bird is an analogy of someone who seeks grace only from the Lord. He doesn't want the mercy of the material world any longer. So he therefore never drinks water from ponds of water or puddles of water, but he will always go to the cloud and the cloud only. Even, this is the analogy, even if the cloud is full of lightning. So in the same way, the transcendentalist will never take the blessings of the material world. He will only go to God, even if God chooses to show his anger towards him or rejects him. Ashlishyava pararatam pinashtumam. He will only go to the Lord. This is the idea. So Tulsidas describes beautifully one chataka bird who had already starved himself for all of the... he hadn't drunken no water the whole summer. And now he was really desperate. He began to flutter in the hot summer sun. It was end of summer, and he was getting dizzy. He had not drunken the whole summer. There he saw a beautiful lake, but he thought, no, my determination is I will only fly to the cloud, but there were no clouds. So he went to a tree where there was some shade for him available. But as he was sitting in the shade, some hunter came who had seen him. And the Chataka bird flew somewhere else. He flew to another tree, which was growing over the Ganga. And the hunter had seen him flowing through that Ganga tree, and he noticed he's so dizzy and so finished, he is an easy prey, and he took his arrow, and he shot the poor Chataka bird here where the wing is, and the Chataka bird fell down into the Ganga and was surrounded by Ganga water and started to see that, feel the water all around. And he wanted, all his senses wanted to drink the water. You know, a dying man needs water like anything, you know, so a dying Chataka bird also. But then he thought, no, the river Ganga, the Ganga water will only give me liberation. This is not the result of bhakti, it's the result of jnana. I want only bhakti. And he put his beak out of the water to not drink the water. He only wanted the water of the Chataka bird, the clouds. Huh? And then the Lord, Tulsidas, the Lord took him back home, back to Godhead, understanding. So this, my dear devotee, if we want the kingdom of God, we should be careful. We need the strength, superior strength from above. We have our small little business, huh? Our Krishna conscious little business. And in order to blossom, we need capital investment from above. I once heard this from one God brother, this example. We need to have the capital investment from the Supreme Personality of God and the blessings from above. So now Gaudahari is ready to show all of you the slideshow.